This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by Summer Sunsets. Summer sunsets. They're perfect, despite the way they remind you that summer will end soon. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is a defense of Dick and Jane. This is the 88th episode of the show. That means we're just a few weeks away from the 100th episode, where co-host Chloe and I will answer questions from listeners. If you have anything you'd like to ask us, send it in to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. It's back to school time, and this week I've been thinking about all the little ones who are trotting off to their first days of big kid school, and how much time they'll spend this year learning to read. So I wanted to take a moment to provide a defense of some truly excellent early reading books, the Dick and Jane series created by Zerna Sharp. These are books that have fallen out of vogue in recent years. They get called old-fashioned a lot, but that's not a valid argument. Just because something's old doesn't mean it's worthless. In fact, the reason why something is still around after many years is often because it's really good. I think there's three reasons why the Dick and Jane books are out of fashion. The first is that reading curriculum has become a very big business. There are a lot of companies out there selling software, books, flashcards, and so-called learning toys. Kids learn something from every toy. And expensive training seminars for teachers. There are a lot of people out there making big bucks off literacy curriculum. I want to believe that most of them really believe in what they're doing, and plenty of the tools for sale are helpful. But some of these people are flat-out grifters. There's a wonderful podcast called Sold a Story that gets into this issue. It focuses on the fact that Americans spend a lot of money on literacy, but American kids haven't improved their reading skills at all. In fact, in recent years, those skills have slipped. Parents and teachers are understandably anxious about getting children reading. You can't really do much in the modern world if you can't read. You certainly won't have an easy time getting a job, paying bills, or even communicating with friends and family. So we can sometimes place a little too much hope in some magical new method that will instantly turn every kid into the perfect reader. A big part of how literacy curriculum is marketed is that all those old ways of learning to read just don't work. They need to be thrown out, especially the methods that don't follow the latest science or can't be taught in expensive seminars accompanied by expensive curriculum. Old methods like spending time with your kids, reading to your kids, listening to your kids, and playing with your kids can't be monetized, so they need to be treated like horrible, outmoded, unfashionable things by companies selling new ideas. Again, I don't assume that every company selling literacy tools is sinister, but I'm at least skeptical of most of them. I'm not sure many of their methods actually work any better, and the sheer cost of them alone makes most of them seem like a scam to me. Another reason Dick and Jane books have been left by the wayside is the rise of phonics as the dominant teaching method in English-speaking countries. Phonics involves how sounds match up to written letters, and it teaches new readers how to recognize common patterns of sound. If you're my age, you remember those awesome old Sesame Street sketches where they made up songs based on word groups like fat, cat, sat, mat, or hop, mop, pop, top. Phonics is incredibly useful. It can teach kids how to break down words into understandable chunks. Then the pieces of sound can be snapped together, like Lego bricks. The only catch with phonics is that phonics readers are often so focused on the sounds in words that there isn't much in the way of plot or character development. Phonics exercises are obviously schoolwork. Nobody reads phonics exercises for fun. However, they do provide really helpful training to get children reading. Some people take their commitment to phonics too far, though. I've heard people argue that the Dick and Jane books are actually dangerous, because they're completely unlike phonics. Instead, they use an older method called whole word or sight word. The Dick and Jane books only use very short, very commonly used words in extremely short sentences. The books don't attempt to teach phonics or create repetitive patterns of similar words like hop, mop, pop, top. What happens when kids read a Dick and Jane book is that they end up memorizing the appearance of an entire word through repetition. There are people who think this is a terrible idea and that kids should never do it. I disagree, and I'll explain why in just a moment. The final reason I think that Dick and Jane books are no longer promoted is that they're clearly products of early to mid 20th century America. The characters originated in the 1930s, so the art style and clothing fashions reflect that time period. This can mistakenly cause people to see them as quaint and irrelevant to us 100 years later. There can be an assumption that these books were well and good back in their day, but surely they're just historical curiosities at this point, and not things that children should still use, right? But I'll repeat what I said before. Just because something's old doesn't mean it's useless. I certainly wouldn't rely on, say, the level of medical treatment available in the 1930s, but I'm pretty sure that the Dick and Jane books were then, and remain now, excellent tools for early readers to use. The whole word method, or sight word method, used in Dick and Jane books gets children reading by starting with single, short words. The first page of Look and See, which was published in 1946, starts with a picture of Dick standing on his head next to a basket of freshly raked leaves. It's a charming and energetic picture, and non-readers can instantly understand what they're looking at. A boy who's having fun. Underneath are the words, look, look. In the next picture, Dick falls over, upsetting the basket of leaves. Oh, 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 reads the caption. The final picture in the story shows Dick smiling as he plays in the messy pile of leaves. Look, look, the caption says. Oh, look. An absolute non-reader could get started with this very short, very simple, but very entertaining story. Is it repetitive? Yeah. Is it teaching phonics? Absolutely not. But is it fun? Yeah. Will it make your kid want to read more? You betcha. Each of these readers slowly builds up a child's sight word vocabulary, relying mostly on familiar words and slowly adding in new ones. If you have a kid who's not confident about reading, who has dyslexia or some other difficulty with decoding letters and sounds, or just a kid who finds phonics boring, newsflash, it can be, Dick and Jane will get them excited about reading with cute, familiar images of children playing, solving problems, getting into trouble, and having adventures. The books are even remarkably progressive for their day, equally representing male and female characters. Actually, over-representing girls because Dick is outnumbered by his sisters Jane and Sally. The stories also show a dad who is just as affectionate, playful, and caring as the mother. Jane wears trousers, plays baseball, and is taken seriously by both parents. Memorizing sight words shouldn't be the main way kids learn to read. They do need to do phonics. But if you only do these drills, they'll quickly become tedious and boring. It would be like only doing sports drills with kids and never letting them actually play a game. Dick and Jane books do two critical things that phonics worksheets and flashcards really can't. First, they're actually fun to read. Second, by making just a little use of memorizing sight words, they instantly build confidence. These two things are critical to getting kids excited about reading. Children who hate reading won't read. So it's really important to teach them right from the beginning that reading is fun and kids can be good at it. You're not going to do this by sitting your children down at a table with flashcards and boring learning toys that repetitively shout words and letters at kids. Keeping young readers happily motivated to read is important because the actual work of reading can be very difficult. If you think about it, it's kind of wild that our brains can stare at some squiggles on a page, decode those squiggles into meaningful patterns, and then connect those patterns to sounds we make with our mouths and ideas we keep in our heads. It's not really a natural behavior, and it takes significant time and effort to learn to do. The more fun children have, the happier they'll be to do that work. I've brought in co-host Chloe to talk about her own experience with the Dick and Jane books. I have a compilation of 40 classic readers, and I used it a lot when she was first learning to read. We definitely did phonics exercises using baby blocks to spell out words in sound groups. We also watched a lot of those old Sesame Street videos with groovy phonics songs. I used the Dick and Jane books to help her build confidence, have fun, and show her there was actually a way to use the phonics skills she'd developed. When she read from these books, she smiled. She learned to love reading. She laughed at the charming illustrations. They're a part of why she's now a voracious reader. I made sure she didn't see the script for today's show, and she hasn't heard me recording it, because I didn't want to influence her answers. Here's what she thinks of the Dick and Jane series. Hi, Chloe. Thanks for talking to me about the Dick and Jane books.
Glad to be here.
When you first started reading these books, how much could you read?
When I started reading these books, I wasn't very confident at reading. Daddy usually helped me, but then I started looking at the words and I thought I recognized that a bit when we did phonics. Like, we did words like top and drop. So there was one story about Dick climbing up a tree, and one sentence I think said, Dick is at the top of the tree, and then later on in the story it said, oh no, Dick has dropped from the tree.
So it let you use the things that we'd been working on together?
Yes.
What do you remember most about the books themselves?
The pictures were very funny. It said one particular story, baby Sally goes into her mom's room and puts makeup on her and her teddies and even her dog and her cat. I think her dog was called Spot and her cat was called Puff.
Yes.
Also, they only do one action at the same time. Like inside one story, Sally is stuffing all her toys under her bed because she doesn't want to tidy up her room.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the picture, it's just her stuffing her toys under her bed and Spot's just looking at her. Later on inside the story, when Dick and Jane come in, all the teddies explode from under the bed. So it's just all three of them and Spot looking at the bed.
Yeah, I think that's helpful to kids to just have one thing to think about when you're trying to read the words. Each page is just one moment with one action, and it's always something really energetic, like she's stuffing the toys under the bed, and then the toys are exploding back from underneath, right? So it's one thing happening at a time. So that means there's not too much for little kids to think about when they read these books.
But when the teddies come from under her bed, it just says, oh no, Spot has took the teddies from under the bed. It's a very simple sentence.
What do you remember about how these books made you feel while you were reading them?
I can't quite remember because there are quite a few stories. And some stories are exciting, some are calm, some are, to be honest, a bit boring for me right now since I'm 9 and I read them when I was like 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know because I can't remember a lot from when I was 3.
That's okay. That's okay. I can tell you what I remember if you want to know.
Sure.
You found them very funny. I mean, you've said that before.
Yeah.
The other thing was you recognized everything that was happening. Because all the things that happen in the Dick and Jane stories are real things that real children actually do, like playing with a bike or climbing a tree, jumping in leaves.
Or chasing their mother to the shop, like
yeah,
Sally went inside her car and Dick and Jane went inside their wagon.
Yeah, so these are things that children can recognize. It's something that they're like, oh, hey, I do that. That looks like me. And so when you were little, you like that. It would kind of make you light up because you could understand what you were looking at on the page, and it made you want to read the words because it was like, these are kids just like me. Imagine that there's a kid who has had a hard time learning to read. Maybe they struggle with a disability, or they just got off to a bad start, and so now they believe, oh, I'm not a reader. I can't do this. I'll never be any good at this. Do you think these books would be good for a child like that?
Yes, I'd think they'd be very good because you only need to learn about like 10 or 20 words, no, like 10 or 15 words a story.
So it's easy to start reading without knowing too much ahead of time?
Yes, and also every story, it just builds up a teensy bit, so you don't notice. But when I looked at the story last night, I read the first story compared to the last story. The last story was much more understandable for me because since I'm a 9-year-old, and then the first story sounded like a little kid would read, but then like when I went on to the last story, I saw how it changed a lot.
Like it added words and complex vocabulary as the book went along.
Yes, and also they just add like one more word every story. And just keep working up on that word until you learn how to read almost every word.
I think that's a good approach because it means that it isn't scary when you read a new story because you're only adding one thing at a time and you already know the other ones. So I think you're right. I think this is a great book for kids to read if they're not feeling very confident because it gives them something fun to look at and then it helps them feel proud of themselves when they can read a few words. Now, I'm interested in your reaction to this. Did you know there are some grown-ups who think that Dick and Jane books are dangerous and that people shouldn't read them to children? The look on your face, you look very surprised. No, it's true because some people think that children should only learn with phonics, and they think that learning whole words is too old-fashioned and you shouldn't do it. What would you say to a grown-up who would tell you that this book is dangerous and that children shouldn't read it? It sounds like she would just give them a very incredulous look.
I just fell over.
Now, who could ever think that a book about kids having fun would be dangerous, huh?
Don't worry,
Okay.
I'm okay.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you're okay.
I can't get up.
Let me help you. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with me, Chloe.
No problem.
People can get pretty hung up on the right way to teach children to read. So many parents and teachers worry about using the correct methods, buying the correct products, and using the right teaching tools. They worry that if they use the wrong philosophy, buy the wrong products, or use the wrong tools, they'll mess up their poor little readers forever. I've seen enough of these debates over literacy to notice that they often sound more like religious arguments than discussions about education. We really don't need to stress out about choosing the perfect way to teach reading. We also don't need to spend a lot of money on trendy methods, expensive curriculum, or things that call themselves toys but aren't actually any fun to play with. For most kids, both phonics-based and whole word strategies will help them learn to read. As long as you're able to give your kids time and support, they'll be just fine. As they get started, the most important thing kids need to learn is that reading is fun. So if you're a parent or teacher with young ones who are learning to read this fall, let me recommend that they have some fun with Dick and Jane. You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and give the show a rating. Send comments to letters at childrensliteraturepodcast.com. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. Thanks for listening.